friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did he earn it or is it a gift? Is there a difference? 216-474-0092. Did Shador earn it or is it a gift? 2 second trivia, 743, and Kevin Stefanski's pre-joint practice press conference, 9:30 this morning. Again, your chance to eat free Mr. Hero coming up at 743. A lot going on. 216-474-0092. Now, I go back to Nathan. Nathan had said, and we did the, oh, and Nathan had said he thought he earned first team reps. Now, we thought we might see some first team reps on Saturday. There was some arm soreness. Okay. We thought we'd see some first team reps on Monday, and didn't go necessarily that way. Now, there's injuries, then they signed Tyler Huntley, and I swear to God, I thought they would just start this game on Friday going, hey, he ain't ready yet, we ain't got the quarterbacks, we'll just start Tyler Huntley. And I knew that I thought there'd be some people who were going to be really upset, like Jonathan Peterlin was, I mean, he had the belt out, he was ready to just whoop the Browns' ass up and down the hallway. He was upset, man. And then they announced Shador Sanders. Well, they didn't announce it, but the reports from Mary Kay and everybody say that Shador Sanders is going to be the starting quarterback coming up on Friday night, which you can hear on your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan. And within 100 miles of downtown, 92.3thefan.com, if I'm not mistaken. So is this a gift? I go back to Nathan, and he said he's around this team constantly. Now, I don't just want to say one word is the end all be all, and that's it. When you say gift, you may not mean it this way. I think it's loaded words. I think it takes it. I don't think you mean it this way, to be honest. Maybe you do. I think it's loaded words. I think it loads up all the people who don't like Shador to say, you're just giving it to him now. You're just giving him the reps. Why? Because he sells jerseys.
Well, they had
selling
to give
jerseys
it. They
don't
did.
Equate to wins.
But to be clear, like, this happened because you had injuries. It's why they brought in Huntley, is because they needed arms. They needed somebody to pray. They got to evaluate guys. So it's not just about the quarterback, even though that's all we seem to care about. They also have to evaluate everybody else on the roster. You can't do that if you have no quarterbacks. And they didn't want to wait. Shador was always going to play in this game. So all I was saying was, and I'm thankful for it because I want to see him. I'm glad he's starting. But they had these injuries. They had no choice. They had to give the job to Shador Sanders. If they would have given it to Huntley, we would have lost our ever-loving minds, would we not? We would have raked them over the coals had they have started Huntley in this game, no? Like, the guy they just brought in, it would have been like, what are they doing?
They would have raked him over the coals. I would have felt really... I think, again, my opinion might have changed of the entire situation, because I just can't think a team this desperate would hold down anybody who has any talent. They are so damn desperate for a quarterback that can dig them out of this hole that they've dug for themselves, that can dig them out of this thing. I can't believe they would hold him back. So it would have to make me think that, man, he may not have it, and I may need to reevaluate everything about him being on the 53-man roster and all, carrying four quarterbacks and that whole deal. So this is an opportunity to alleviate fears by him. But I do think that in their system, he will have had to have earned it to a certain degree. Don't turn around and try to hand it off to the wrong person. Don't turn left when you're supposed to turn right. Don't leave yourself open to big hits. That's what I mean by, say, protecting himself. Lewis Riddick, he shares some concerns that I went after earlier in this show. This is Lewis Riddick on Get Up.
I'm afraid he's going to get on the field in preseason games without a lot of practice reps, and then they're going to ask him to perform these heroic tasks in order to prove that he's worthy of being a starter when he hasn't had enough reps to really get comfortable. That's the kind of battle he's dealing with right now. I know. I've seen it. We've been in these camps. We know how that goes.
Yeah.
You don't get enough reps. They play a whole half of a game, and then all of a sudden coaches are going, why are you making that mistake? Why aren't you making that check? Why are you doing that technique? Well, damn, coach, I never was in there in practice. You never even talked to me during practice. But now you expect me to know. That's what they're going to expect of him. But if anyone can get it done, it's this kid, because he's been trained the right way. But I'm telling you, he is ice skating uphill. He just is. And every time you hear this organization talk, you get that feel.
Audio courtesy of ESPN. That is a complete distrust of the organization. Complete. 216-474-0092. I'm going to get to you guys here in just a moment. That is complete distrust of the organization. Now, to address that, I would be sick If they, and I know he comes from an offense that spreads it out, but man, you're going up against NFLers. It's your first ever NFL. You want him to play to the system, don't you? Don't you want to protect him? So when he's saying, what's heroics? Big fly the whole game? Like, no. No. This is jazzed up practice. So let's do jazzed up practice. As exciting as we are, I would like to see him do play action and let her rip for 30 yards once, twice. I think a lot of people want to see if he's got a big arm and things like that. But hey, man, just conduct the offense. So that's all I'm asking. And if Kevin Stefanski is the type of coach I think he is, I think that that's what they're going to do. I think that they're going to go first and 10, and here comes Shedeur Sanders. And who's doing the game on five? Is it Chris Rose? I'm sorry, I'm just guessing here. I hope that we see it on TV where here comes Shedeur Sanders. Just turns around, hands the ball off on first and 10. That's what I'm hoping for.
You don't want to let him rip?
Let's see what he's made of. I just said. Literally,
I don't want a bunch of handoffs.
So far all I've seen in camp is a bunch of
5 and under throws. I want to see him go down the field.
I just said I'd rather him.
All right, we agree. Good.
I would like to see him once or twice. Let her rip.
I want to see way more than once or twice. I think that
what Lewis Riddick is saying is going to come to fruition.
Let's go.
And I think you're not putting him in the right spot.
If he's playing a half, he's got to let it rip.
Yeah, I want to see 10 throws. I want to get going here. Let's go.
Daryl's saying he was throwing to ball boys last week. Now, this is playing into the hands of what Lewis Riddick just said. That to me is an irresponsible franchise. Do what's right. Be responsible by him. If he hasn't thrown big fly, why are you going to make him go out there and have him throw the ball all over the yard?
I don't want to baby him. I don't want to coddle him.
No offense to Chris. I just want to make sure it was
Joe
Chris.
And Aditi.
Yeah, my fault on that.
I, of course, will be listening here on the radio.
Yeah, but obviously if I'm watching, oh, for the love of God, my phone just lit up. Is this Keith doing this? Oh, Judas Priest.
No, I don't want to coddle him. I want to see him get out, make plays. Look, I know that the Browns, it's been heavily debated just how much the Browns even loved him. Was it Jimmy Haslam that loved him? They tried to get everybody, you know, to stop talking about that and say, no, this Andrew Berry likes him. All right, well, he got drafted in the fifth round, but let's get going here. Let's see what he's made of. Put him out there
to have him just hand off for a half.
Yeah, anybody
right?
could do that. Well, no one can do that.
No one's just going to hand it. But no, you want to protect him. Again, you heard Lewis Riddick. You don't hear any red flags out of that with what Lewis Riddick is saying?
I think the whole situation
so
has
you want
red
it to
flags.
Fly in the face of Lewis Riddick right there? I mean, I respect Lewis Riddick.
I think we're sitting here debating motivations. We're debating first-team reps, second-team reps in practices. Now we've got, you know, the joint practice. Then we have preseason. Like, eventually, we've got to be honest. Like, this was a weird setup from the get-go. So the only way to find out who's going to emerge from this is not throws on day four of camp and a whole bunch of stats and a box score about that. Like, now we got to see other teams trying to take his head off and see where he's at. Let's see if he's truly that far behind. You know, Dylan Gabriel, who's not going to play in this game, it looks like. So let's see him throw the football. Let's see him spin it. Let's see him make those plays that made us fall in love with him at times in Boulder when he was, you know, taking that school, that awful program to new heights that we hadn't seen in 30 years. Let's see it.
Robin Strongsville, you're first up in the fan. Hello.
Hey, guys. I think you know, obviously him starting on Friday is by default. I think the most important thing that you guys keep talking about is really the reps in this joint practice. Because really all he's gaining on Friday is an extra series. Because Kenny Pickett would have played the first series, and then him and Gabriel are going to finish up the game anyway. So I think realistically it's how many reps does he get in practice, or is that going to be, you know, Flacco majority of the time? So maybe he gets a handful of reps prep against the ones today in Carolina. I think that's the true opportunity. That's all I got.
I think that's a good point there, Rob. I would say, I mean, if Joe Flacco's been kind of just hanging out for the most part here, you need to get him, if he's going to start on Friday, you need to get him reps today.
But Canales said they're going to play some starters, right? We don't know who the starters are for the Panthers, but
or how much they're going to go.
That Shedeur's order in getting on the field is going to change who he faces So I think that's the important part of the debate, right?
Yeah, because there's going to be an agreement here going, okay, who do you got going? Are we blitzing? What are we doing here? Is it going to be based? Like, there's agreement between
this
these coaches and what they're going
game,
to do.
Not a-
yes. So and you get your coordinators together because you got to trust them and go, okay, we got to show this. We got to try to do that. We got to get something accomplished here in this preseason game. Usually you're trying to get a lot accomplished during the joint practice, and then the preseason game is there to be able to sell beer and get people to pay for parking. That's usually what that's all about. But you're going to try to control the uncontrollable of the game. So what you're going to do is you're going to agree on what everybody's going to see. Now, you could still do a base defense and try to go big flyer. You could still do a base defense and turn around and hand the ball off. If they turn around and hand the ball off, I guess I'm not going to be a very I don't think I'm going to be a very popular person on Monday, because I'm going to say that they did right by Shador, and apparently you guys are all going to kill him for not letting Shador loose, even though Lewis Riddick is saying, hey, I don't know if I'd really let him loose considering he doesn't have any big reps with first-team guys, and you might be putting him in a position to hurt his psyche.
Man, we're that worried. We're worried about Shador Sanders' confidence.
That's
the one thing I would never be worried about.
I'm happy
with that
he's
dude.
Getting first team reps, but I don't want to put him in a position to fail either. And what is this offense? Do I tailor the offense for a guy I took in the fifth round? Do I change the offense for a guy I still took in the fifth round on a flyer? Or do I go, hey, you have the smarts to do this. I know you've been a bit behind because it is a new experience for you. You haven't played the same amount of football as Dillon Gabriel. So let's take this and let's work with it here and let's take carry. He'll get the chance to throw the effing ball, for crying out loud. He's not going to just turn around. It's not going to be Army football. You understand here, Tone?
It just seems to me like if we're that worried about him forever ruining the psyche and his confidence in game one, half one of preseason game one at Carolina, then we are babying Shador Sanders. Come on. Let's go. Let's let him throw.
216-474-0092. All right. I want to get to more of you guys. Do you think that they should just let him rip on Friday then? Is that it? I mean, hell, I thought we were asking whether or not he's set up to succeed or fail. You want him to just go long. That's what you want? Okay. I don't think it's a very good plan. I don't think it's very responsible. Kevin Stefanski.
Whose voice were you doing there?
The guy from that was a Family Guy.
That was an interesting Ken Carmen voice there.
It was the impression of the guy from Family Guy. You ass. I know what you're doing. Don't do it.
You want to do it again?
It gonna rain.
I did some code switching from Ken Carmen. I like
that's it. That's what he says.
Well, that's not what Ken Carmen says. I didn't know you had this range.
I did an impression of Paul Keels this morning.
That's what I'm saying. You've
I did
got
the guy
range.
From Family Guy. I don't know why you needed to be that way.
I just want to make
sure
you didn't get
it. Gonna rain.
I want to make sure Ken didn't get any evil emails or anything from people that don't know the context.
It's the weather guy from Family Guy. From the show.
What is Family Guy.
It's won multiple Emmys, I'm sure.
What did they call the weather guy in the Family Guy?
I don't know. I only know they cut away to the weather guy. The report is, it gonna rain. How are you able to roll on that so quickly and we got problems
I've
with
changed,
another guy? How
I've
is that
changed
possible?
The way I do some things. It's called adapting.
Can we do this, please? Can I go through this without you trying
I
to pay me out?
I don't know if we can do
no,
that.
No, I'm trying to save you the grief of what
there is
somebody
no
who
there's
is
no
driving
grief.
By.
There's no grief. 95% of the people out there know who I'm in, who I'm doing an impression of. It's the weather guy.
I don't
from
know
Family
if
guy.
We can do that, but we can do this.
What? The report is, it gonna rain.
Stop it!
Can I admit to you, of all the animated comedies, Family Guy's probably, it's funny, but it's probably my least favorite.
Okay, what I...
Well, American Dad's probably the least favorite. I don't like that alien as much as everybody else does, or the dad, to be honest with you, or anything on that show.
Oh, well, we're doing it.
Yeah. What you got?
Power rank them. Let's go.
Oh, least favorites.
Oh, I thought you wanted favorites.
No, I don't care about your favorites.
Oh.
We all know it's King of the Hill and blah, blah, blah. And Simpsons, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, King of the Hill is number
let's
one
go.
On my
favorite.
Yeah,
I know. That's not what we're doing. We're doing least favorites.
I can't think of the ones that
it
least
It doesn't
favorite.
Matter. You started it.
Big Mouth.
If you're going to start it, you better finish
Big
it.
Big Mouth got out there for me. It got to be a little bit too much.
Which one was that? Which one's
that? That was on Netflix.
That
I tried
is the
to watch
Nick
that.
Kroll one.
Yeah, and it started off good, and I went, okay, we're going to move on from this.
Wasn't there a
adolescent
Bill,
puberty.
Was there a Bill Burr one?
That is F is for Family. Ken loves that one.
I love that one, but now I'm not supposed to love it because Bill Burr ripped us, and I'm supposed to be all mad at him for whatever reason you guys said. The report is it going to rain.
Stop it now.
It's going to rain.
It is going to rain.
Weather calls for rain. Fine, I'll talk like Mitch for the rest of the segment. You want me to do that?
Yeah.
Now that.
Exactly what I want.
2 second trivia coming up at 7:43, everybody. Your chance to win free Mr. Hero.
They canceled the Family Guy.
You know, the weather's getting colder and the mic's getting hotter.
It's getting hotter.
They did like half a season of the Family Guy. It got canceled because either it wasn't watched or there was outrage about the comedy. And I was so sad
in high school. The first Family Guy?
Yes. I was in high school and I remember that. And me and my buddies knew every episode, every word. And then they brought it back, and it was good for like another year.
I was in middle school, and the kid at the bus stop was like, you got to see this new show. It's called Family Guy. It's amazing. And then off it went. And there we are. And now I'm moving on with the segment. Mitch, they did 3 seasons, got canceled due to low ratings, then it got revived. He can tell you everything. I can tell you everything.
I think it's the death of comedy.
2 second trivia coming up here in a little bit. I'm going to get back to Shador here in a moment because he ain't going anywhere except for the first team and starting on Friday. Guardians won last night. By the way, it's written in the book here, folks. Don't think I don't remember. It's written in the book. I want to show you, Tone. I marked the games that I watch.
Go ahead.
And I watched last night, and it says right there under at the New York Mets, vote win.
Whoa!
You can't read my writing, but it says right there, buddy boy, vote win. You wanted me to do the vote wins and the vote losses and the vote
day
almost losses.
After I chastised Ken, because I said all I ever hear about is a vote loss, which of course they didn't lose the game before.
Because,
and then I said, do we need a category for vote losses and maybe even vote almost losses?
Well, there's wins in spite of too. You've seen every single manager or head coach get a win in spite of themselves.
Sure,
it's happened to Nick Saban. It happened to
everybody. That I never heard of the vote almost wins or vote wins. I only saw people keeping track of the losses, and I said, got to be fair here. And Ken, to your credit, you respond the next day, and you said yesterday was a vote win. Now, why was it a vote win?
I got to tell you, there was a lot of confidence in those guys to go from Matt Festa to Colby Allard while everybody, which, by the way, a pack of smokes downstairs, 314 plus tax out there, 13-14 plus tax out the door.
I was about to say, 314, I might pick it back up.
There's going to be a line out there for 314. 13-14 plus tax for some Slims. And then Jacob Junis to get to Cade Smith, that's fantastic. See, this was my problem into yesterday. And I'm not trying to rejudicate. Is it rejudicate?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not trying to rejudicate yesterday there.
I'm not
Nick Wilson. I don't use those words all the time. So I'm not trying to go over it again yesterday, but I'm going to. Because Todd Derry totally agreed with me, by the way, on the on the vote in spite of win.
Because of Gattis? Going with Gattis where you went with
him? Because he goes, just the other day, you were able to extend Cade Smith. Just because Cade Smith is filling that role does not mean he's just the...
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A full-time closer, and that's it. You don't need to be just that. And that was my issue. Clearly, Hunter Gattis has a problem with Juan Soto, because I was just happy that Juan Soto hit a line drive single to center field and didn't put one 500 feet and drop you know what on the Cleveland Guardians that night, because Hunter Gattis, clearly Juan Soto loves his pitching. That was my only point of that.
Now, would Cade have been available yesterday had he have been asked to face
possibly no.
multiple
so
more batters?
Possibly no. So that's the argument that you can throw back on.
But
that's what makes baseball fun.
Either way. A game and a half back of the wild card.
Credit where it goes. You're only a game and a half back of the wild card, and it's a vote win. Credit to his bullpen and the confidence he has in his bullpen. You're 58-53. You hold on to a 3-2 win over the Mets, which I don't. How many people really thought you were holding on to a 3-2? Lead over the Mets.
I mean, you got
did
down.
Did anybody really think they were holding on to that?
Absolutely felt
no,
like
you
we were.
Didn't.
No, I was. Junis was very surprising in his relief appearance, where he was the guy that was called on to kind of bridge the gap to Cade Smith. I like the way.
So are we far enough away now from the 10-game skid? It's going to be mentioned, obviously, the rest of the year, because you're going to say, well, man, if you could have just gone 3-7 during that instead of 0-10. Okay, the 10-game skid, are we far enough away to now be able to say maybe that was flukish?
Don't know, because I think
the 10-game skid.
I think you're going to say something I may actually agree with you on when it comes to the Guardians here, because you've been reading some of people's thoughts on their 18-7
yeah.
over their last 21. They've been fantastic. So what are 18 plus 7 is 25. So how much did you 25 games? How much did you, what did you read that bothered you?
I saw this. This was from Jordan Zerm, who I follow, used to be in the media here locally. Now he's in LA. He said, the guards are going to mess around and make the playoffs, and I'm fearful for what lesson the front office is going to take from that.
Well, I don't think the front office needs to learn any lesson. I understand what he's saying. I don't think the front office needs to learn any lesson.
Go ahead.
But
I got bad news for you, Jordan. Whether they make the playoffs or not, they're not changing the way they do business
absolutely not.
Let's not act like they're going to make the playoffs and be like, we don't need to spend money now. They weren't going to spend money next year anyway.
And why
so
is that?
Who really cares?
And why is that?
Because they don't have no money to spend.
But it ain't just that.
Then we've also got a lockout.
But there's also that they've been more successful than they've been unsuccessful, yeah. And they would say our model works. It just didn't happen to work this year. But let me put
this
out there.
Are we going to ask the same question to the Mets? I wonder if the Mets now are going to start to wonder about their way of doing business.
Guess what team in this talk about I don't care about?
Right.
It's the Mets.
And the Mets who have $340 million payroll. Like, how many teams, fan bases, are saying that about their teams, are not thrilled about the way their teams are run one way or another? How many teams? It seems like the Yankees. Are the Yankees going to learn any lessons?
No, how they're run?
I'm going to say the Dodgers fan base is pretty happy with what they do. And at the same time, I'm sure there were Dodgers fans, actual real Dodgers fans, that at the trade deadline thought, why didn't we go get Steven Kwan?
Oh, of course. You know, they were talking about holes on their baseball team.
Guy that was a trade
option. 100% of teams think they have holes, by the way.
Yes.
Like, every team does not think they're a finished product here in August.
But you need to draw a line. Not you. With the proverbial you needs to draw a line. The front office, I don't think, needs to learn a lesson. Other than, hey, you know what? Your trades, because you don't have a lot of money, your trades are put more of a microscope on. I mean, for the love of God, out of the whole Francisco Lindor thing, you just have Emmanuel Clase get blown up for gambling and probably ain't going to be around anymore. That ain't good. But if somehow David Blitzer took over, or I took over and I had all the money, and I just go, hey, you know what? You got $250 million to spend. I think they'd go ape and go buy a bunch of players and bring them in and try to take a run at it as best they could. If I gave them $250 million to work with, they'd use $250 million. But I don't think Paul Dolan will learn any lessons, no matter what, how much you screen. So you could always just say they need to learn a lesson and go out and win 70 games. He ain't going to learn no lesson.
What I have
he's
said,
not going to learn a lesson.
And this isn't just a Dolan thing, but he's our owner. I think there's a third of the owners, maybe even more, in the league who their goal every year is to spend as little money as possible, make the playoffs, and say once the playoffs start, hey, it's baseball.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen in baseball. Yes, it pays to have a payroll three times that, but since that's not happening, what's the best alternative? Doing it the way they do it, because it's been working for them for so long to get into the postseason.
They become a team that essentially works with a salary cap in an uncapped league. Where it's like, and it's weird because, again, like
think about what you just said.
I understand that, and that seems crazy, but follow me on this. There's no hope in a lot of other cities. There's hope in this city. But the hope is that, yeah, you can get lucky, and then you become a victim of your own hope, because now you're sitting there hoping. You go, if I just had a little bit more, we'd be able to get over the hump and I'd be able to enjoy something that now at 78 years, my grandfather wasn't even able to enjoy. I mean, that's how long it's been now. When we started this station, there were grandfathers who saw it. There's very, very few now. So you have this team that plays just well enough to make you mad, but it's not going to be a lesson that Paul Dolan learned, so you're only hurting yourself. You could give up on baseball if you want. That's your right. I wish you didn't. I would like a healthy sports fan base here in Cleveland with all three teams. But he ain't going to learn nothing. He's going to sell the team eventually. I think your theory is right. By the time we get to work stoppage TV deal, I'm pointing to places people can't see yet until we go live on YouTube here. But I got work stoppage, scale of television revenue. By the time that gets figured out, yeah, then probably David Blitzer's going to take over, and maybe we will hold him to a different standard here.
He'll make a quick splash. He'll spend an extra $50 million that first year. And then they'll tighten the reins on things, and so, they'll be run like a business, just like everybody else.
And I'm going to be beholden to a guy who runs a team like a business. Now, I will not back off of what I've said about Paul Dolan here over the last year. If you're going to sit there and cry poor, which he don't say much, so I don't think he's crying poor. But if we're going to talk about him crying poor,
he has in the past.
Then sell the bleeping team. Because I don't need to hear about your money woes when you and your family will always have more money than any of us, because I know what's in the trust because it's public out there, $4.6 or $4.7 billion. So don't tell me about not having any money, and I know you can't spend it on that. But damn it, I got two other guys. You think Dan Gilbert don't run the team like a business except for maybe 1 year? And Jimmy Haslam runs his team like a business. He ain't giving $230 million to a quarterback unless you're making money back up on the other end.
I do. By the way, I do not believe that Paul Dolan has access to $4 billion.
No, he does not.
Family money that
he absolutely does not.
But either way, I've seen Succession, damn it. I know everybody has access to the money.
But if you're going
to
cry poor, then do what all the other businessmen do when they can't afford something, they sell it.
And I don't know how many guys are lining up right now, unfortunately, given that the work stoppage is coming. With that said, and we've talked about that to death. The people that are saying things like that tweet that I read, which is, oh, they're going to make the playoffs and not learn a lot. It almost sounds again, there are Cleveland fans rooting against them because they want to win an argument. They want to prove to the Dolans and to Antonetti and to Chernoff and even Mark Shapiro up in Toronto, they want to prove to them that they're wrong. And it's like, man, you're not watching baseball then, because this is how baseball is being run right now. This is how the sport goes.
See,
it sucks. It's why I don't have the relationship with baseball that I do with the other sports. It's patently unfair. It has us talking more about the economics of the game. In football, we don't do that. And we did on Watson's contract, but we're not talking about whether owners can spend money or whatever. Maybe Cincinnati does to some degree, but of course they went to the Super Bowl a few years ago. The NBA, I mean, my God, the Cavs are in the second apron, the only team in the second apron. We're not sitting here talking about how unfair that the sport is.
That's just
a problem with baseball.
My final thought on this, and I'm sure we'll pick it back up here by the end of the show again. My final thought on this, because we got 2 second trivia coming up at 7:43, 216-474-0092. Your chance to win a 4-pack of combo meals from Mr. Hero. That's good eating, folks. You can do that when you win 2 second trivia. 216-474-0092. I still believe that this team, as they are made up, you win in spite of the ownership of what they can't or won't invest. Won't is the word. Won't invest. But if I want them to learn some lesson, I'm only fooling myself. There's no lesson that they are going to learn, because their history would show you, and even as a person who's been very critical of them, their history would show you their way is more successful than the ways that we want them to do it.
You have 2 seconds and only 2 seconds to win. This is 2 Second Trivia.
It is time for 2 Second.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trivia and your chance to win a 4-pack of Mr. Hero combo meals. Mr. Hero celebrating their 60th anniversary with a waffle doodle celebration. Right now, get any waffle doodle for only $4.25. That's good eating at a good price.
Yum.
Try the chicken and bacon Nashville hot or the BLTE. Yeah, there's an E there at the end. In store, you can order or online at MrHero.com. But you can get it for free if you win 2 Second trivia, 216-474-0092. Tone is ready. I believe our contestants are ready. Ethan in Akron, home of the Garfield Rams. Good morning, Ethan.
Ken, good morning. The wife and I will be in Cancun for our honeymoon during the Browns' first preseason game, the biggest preseason game ever. Should her wrist up? My wrist is up right now.
Let's go. There's going to be some explosions in Carolina and some explosions in Cancun. All right, Ethan, congratulations on all your sexy success. Are you ready?
I am ready, Ken.
Lima, take it away.
Which quarterback started last year's preseason opener for the Browns against the Packers?
Brent Huntley.
Congratulations.
He combined two different quarterbacks, it sounded like.
You lost. How many guys do that? You tell me you don't go to a...
I've done it.
You can go to any VFW or any American Legion or any Elks or Moose or Orioles, and somebody's going to throw together some names of Browns quarterbacks on the fest. Okay, let's get to Gabe in Ashtabula, home of the Dragons. Good morning, Gabe.
Good morning.
Here we go.
Better watch how much you put on there. I'm going to start asking the questions. Lima, take it away.
Who is the Mets manager?
Netanyahu?
Not Bibi. It is not.
Patrick in Hudson, home of the Explorers.
He was doing that too.
Congratulations on all your success, Patrick. You live in Hudson. You have a higher tax bracket than most people listening. Patrick, are you ready?
I am ready.
Lima, this poor bastard, this rich bastard's got it all. He's not poor, but he can still win. Mr. Hero, take it away, Tom.
Now he's just greedy trying to win. Yeah. It's in 2017. The Browns went 0-16. Who started a quarterback for 15 of those games?
Wait a minute. He said hello. He lost us.
And
hold on.
And we say goodbye.
No, wait a minute. Patrick, are you there?
He's playing the silent game with us.
I'm here now. You went up for a second. Hello, I'm here.
Are you there? All right, go.
In 2017, Browns went 0-16. Who started a quarterback for 15 of those games?
Deshaun Kizer.
Yes. All right.
You want me to take
Don't
over?
Don't say after Ken, you if, gave if, him Ken can ask, to ask the question.
Ken can ask you a level two question.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kenny.
All right, let's hear it.
Patrick, what was my dead mother's middle name?
Oh, Marie.
Incorrect. Congratulations on your fabulous lifestyle. Spencer in Shaker Heights, home of Paul Newman. Spencer, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Lima, take it away.
What is Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley's nickname? I was just calling Pro Bowler.
Kind of like you almost got a cuss at you. Matt Wycliffe, home of the Blue Devils and the Nasty Emailers. Matt, are you ready?
Let's do this.
Lima, take it away.
Which Major League Baseball team does Josh Naylor now play for after getting dealt before the deadline?
Mariners.
Yes. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Matt is legitimately this time in the barn. Matt, you have a chance to win a 4-pack of Mr. Hero combo meals. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Lima, take it away.
Who is now the third base coach for the Mets?
Oh.
Jake in Avon, home of the defending state champion Eagles. Jake, you ready?
I'm ready.
Lima, take it away.
Ken celebrated a 4-0 preseason for a Browns team that year in 2017. What was their regular season record?
2-6.
That would have been nice. We'd have taken it.
2 wins would have been forgettable. Josh in Brecksville, home of the Bees. Josh, are you ready?
As ready as I'm going to be.
Lima, take it away.
This offseason, Brian Hoyer came out and lobbied for the Browns to trade for Joe Milton, and he's been turning heads at this football camp this season. Can you name the team?
Cowboys.
Yes!
Oh,
wow.
That was pretty easy for Josh. Looks like you're going to have to step it up, get sassy with him. Josh, you're in the barn. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Lima, take it away.
Who was Shedeur Sanders' offensive coordinator last year at Colorado?
Pat Shermer.
Boom.
Wow.
Boom.
Wow.
Not to be trifled with.
A bleeping machine.
I would just like to say Josh sounds like a football guy.
He's a answering question machine.
And now he is a Mr. Hero
we
Guy.
We started this with a sex machine, and now we finish with a football guy machine. And you are just exactly what Owen said. You are now a Mr. Hero Guy. Congratulations, Josh. Sweet.
Thanks, guys.
You're very, very welcome.
All right, Kenny,
did
you see Joe Milton turning heads, 65-yard bomb in joint practice?
Great.
Wait, was Joe Milton turning heads?
He turning heads?
Did you see?
Well, if you throw 65 yards, your head's going to go from this side to that side.
There's a 65-yard bomb.
Or on the field and on your radio dial, you're going to be going this way to that way.
Ryan Hoyer caught a lot of flack for saying that the Browns needed to go after Joe Milton. He also got injured in that practice at the end. Okay. Have you been paying attention to Travion Henderson? He's been.
Yes, I have.
Dare I say.
Yes, I have.
Turning heads. With the New England Patriots.
Yes, I have. I've been paying attention to him.
Do you wish we would have him instead of the Ohio State running back we took?
More and more by the hour, it's starting to look that way. By the hour.
By the week.
Do you got anything on Travis Hunter?
I'm not lying. I saw that. They ran that screen right before the end of the first half against Texas, and I saw him take off, and I'm going, man, really? They want Travion Henderson.
I know. They're all highlights. We're doing the same thing at Browns camp. We're showing the highlights.
They want Travion Henderson.
The other one to bring up is Travis Hunter.
And what's he doing?
We got a depth chart. Travis Hunter, we wondered, how much is he realistically going to play both ways? Here's his head coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's a hard number to probably come up. If you're saying you're going to play 65 to 75 snaps on offense, you know, if he's playing 80% of those snaps or so, you know, defensively, and you look at trying to be able to match that number as much as possible. We've done more offense because that was where more of the development was necessary, right? So much more naturally to just go walk out on the field and play corner. Like, that's what he's done. He can go do that. Offensively, we felt like there was a little bit more development that was necessary, and it's a lot more ball, right? Just a lot more scheme and words and calls. And so every single day is completely packed from the moment that he arrives to the moment he leaves, with making sure that he is meeting with somebody at all times. Boy. You want to play him as much as we can, though. That's the reality.
They're not worried about giving too much to the youngster. I guess he is the which receiver was he? Was he the fourth receiver?
Yes.
And the second corner?
Correct.
So,
I would say if you put the offensive playbook on one side of him and the defensive playbook on the other side, he will definitely be turning his
head. According to Sean Pendergast, who is the host in Houston at 6:10, is that the Cavlin Asian?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Nick Chubb is having his best day at camp, noticeably so.
He's getting stronger.
And Leon's getting long. Okay.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.